You enjoy the singing this morning? Say amen. Amen. I tell you, the choir grew a little bit from last week already. I appreciated that. I like that. Now, if y'all can sing, I heard some of you singing behind me. You might as well just come on up and get in the choir. There's plenty of seats. Ain't that right, Miss Nan? That's right. There's plenty of seats up there. I heard you singing back here. You might as well do it up there. All righty. Well, I appreciated that this morning. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. And it looks like all of you got breath in here this morning. Amen. At least a few of you. I'm glad we get to come in here. I tell you, Sunday's my favorite day of the week. I come up here and I study, and most of the time I'm by myself every day. But I tell you, about 8:30 on Sunday morning when y'all start piling in for Sunday school and I hear voices, that just cranks my truck. Because it gets kind of lonely up here, I'll be honest. You hear a noise, it kind of scares you when you're by yourself. This is a creepy place when it's all dark. I ain't lying. But I enjoy it. I enjoy Sunday. It's my favorite day to come in and to worship the Lord. And I won't keep you long today. And I know I've probably said that every time, and y'all still waiting on me not to keep you long, but that's all right. But let me ask you just one important question this morning. Have you ever felt like nobody loves you? Has there ever been a time in your life where God just seems like He's nowhere near you? Does it feel like nobody around you even notices you? And nobody loves you? Does God love me? Is a question that millions of people around this world are asking this morning they woke up. Does God love me? How can God love somebody like me? If God knows everything about me, how can God love me? I've sinned so many times and God knows exactly what I've done. How can He still love me? And you hear it all the time that God is a forgiving God, but there's no way that He can forgive that one thing that you've done. And we think there's no way that God can love people like us. God can't forgive me. I know He forgives other people, but God can't forgive me. My sin was just too bad, and we carry it around with us the rest of our life. And I want to preach this morning on the one question. Does God love me? Does God love me? Love is something in the year 2018 that's totally been blown out of proportion. Nobody even knows what true love is anymore. Because true love, first of all, has to be based on the Bible. Amen. Because the Bible says that God is love. And if you want to experience true love, it's got to come from the very source of it. You can't have love without God. People say, I love cake. And hallelujah, I love cake. Chocolate cake. I love food. We talked about it on Wednesday. I like tomato sandwiches. Amen. And we say we love everything. But the fact is, sometimes I love something one day, and then the next week, I can't stand it. I love cake one day, and sometimes the next week, I look at it and I can't even stand it. And the term love gets thrown around just like it's nothing. And if we aren't careful, we allow our view of love to get carried into our view of God. Because you see, our love stops. Our love changes. Our love fails. And if we allow that to get carried into our relationship with God, that becomes the most dangerous thing that can happen. Because the most miserable people in this life are the ones that believe God cannot love them. And some of you might have walked in here this morning and you're miserable as can be because you're carrying around something that you did 20 years ago and you think that God hadn't forgiven you for it yet. And every night you go to Him and say, God, I know I've confessed it 50 times, but I come again and confess it again. And wonder if you're still loving me. God's love is so much different than our love. And we will be the absolutely most miserable people in this life unless we understand what God's love is like. You'll hear me quote Dr. Stanley all the time. Dr. Charles Stanley. You'll hear me quote him all the time because I love his sermons, and I'll get to one of his quotes in a minute. But I want you to flip to Romans chapter number 5 is where we'll be this morning. Romans chapter number 5 is where we'll begin, and then we'll get right into the message. Remember, our love is one day, but then it fails the next day. We love something one day, and then maybe the next day we hate it. But we've got to realize that God's love is so much different than ours. So does God love me? Romans chapter 5, if you're there, say amen. Verse number 6. Paul's writing, and he says, "For when we were yet without strength," or helpless, "in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But I like this next verse. "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And we'll stop right there, and may God add His blessing to His Word. In verse number 6, the Bible says that Christ did not die for a bunch of godly people that were good. The Bible says that Christ died for a bunch of ungodly people. And in verse number 7, Paul makes the illustration, and he says, "For a righteous man, there might be one person on this earth that will step forth and die in their place." And Paul says it would be the most daring act of courage for a man to step forward and die for somebody that was good. He says there might be one person to step forward and die for a righteous man. There might be one person to step forward and die for a good man. So if only one will step forward and die for good people, there's no way that anybody on this earth is going to step forward and say, "I'll die for a bunch of wicked people instead." When nobody else stepped up, God did. When nobody else would die for a bunch of sinners, God did. God loves you and me so much that He died for us. Not when we were good, but when we were sinners. And if God loves you when you are a sinner, and if you're a child of God, don't you think that He still loves you? If God loves you when you were a sinner, and now you're His child, don't you think that He still loves you? That's a love that doesn't make sense in our mind. Paul says it's a love that passes our knowledge. But he says when we know that love, we're filled with all the fullness of God. And I want to be filled with all the fullness of God this morning. And that comes from knowing how much Jesus Christ loves you and me. Dr. Charles Stanley says, "True love is unconditional. True love is unselfish. True love is tender. True love is strong action that sacrificially reaches out to do what is best for another person." And I'll be honest with you this morning. To know that this girl down here in the blue is in love with me is one of the greatest feelings that I've ever had. But to know that there's a God just above all the clouds and the stars that created all this, and He's madly in love with you and me, makes me want to run a lap right out that door. God that created all this. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, not just the earth. He created the whole universe, loves you and me. And that ought to make you smile this morning at least. God loves us this morning. What makes God love us? Because the love of God is something that we'll never even fully understand until the day He calls us home. And we get to look at Him face to face. And I'm already looking forward to that day. But let's just look at verse 8 real quick. And we'll answer the question, does God love me? Number one, God loves us based on who He is. He loves us based on who He is. Verse number 8, it says, "But God." God's love is so much different than what we think it is. God doesn't love you and me because of the people that we are. God loves you and me because of the person that He is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8 says that God is love. The same way that John describes God as a spirit, John describes God as life, spirit, and eternal, is the same way that John describes God as love. It's not just what He does, it's who He is. The same way that you and I, that I'm a male and that y'all are female, that cannot change. I don't care what a surgery can do. Amen. The same way that you and I are male and female, the same way that we're black or white, is the same way that God is love. It's His very nature of who He is. And that can't change. The reason God can love people like you and me is because of who He is, not who we are. There was a missionary in northern China during the 1940s. And after many years of service, he came back home to America. But on his way, his ship stopped in India. And while waiting for a boat home, he found a group of refugees sitting there, living in a warehouse, and nobody wanted them. The missionary walks up to them because it was Christmas. And he walked over to them and wished them a Merry Christmas. And he said, "What do you guys want for Christmas?" And they said, "We don't celebrate Christmas. We're not Christians. We don't believe in Jesus." And the missionary looks at him and he says, "I know, but what do you want for Christmas?" And they looked at him and they said, "Well, we sure would love a bunch of food because we hadn't ate in a while." That missionary had his boat ticket and he cashed it in so he could get money to buy that group of refugees food. And he brought it back to them. And then he sailed home a few days later. When that missionary came back home, he went and taught a seminary class. I believe it was in Georgia. And he told that story to his students. And one student after class walked up to him and says, "I don't mean to be mean, but can I ask you something? Why did you do that for those people? They don't even celebrate Christmas. They don't even believe in Jesus." And the teacher looked at the boy and he says, "I know they don't, but I do. I know they don't, but I do." That man loved those missionaries because of who he was in Christ. And if we're loving people based on who they are, we're going to have a terrible love. Because you don't find something in every single person on the face of this earth that you don't like. We have to love people based on who we are in Christ, not who they are. And if you have a job, there's somebody at that job that you don't like. But the Bible says to love them. And we got to love them based on who we are in Christ. Because that's the exact way that God loves us. If we want to truly experience the love of God, we've got to start loving people based on who we are and not on who they are. Because that's how God loves us. And I thank God that He loves us based on who He is and not who I am. Because I wouldn't get much love at all. God's love, number one, is based on who He is. God's love, number two, is unconditional and based on what He did and not what we do. Look at verse number 8 again. "But God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God did not look at us and say, "When you start living right, I'll send my Son to die for you." God didn't look at us and say, "When you start doing the right things, I'll love you." The Bible says God loved us while we were yet sinners. He didn't wait for us to start living right to love us. You say, how is God's love unconditional? We went over it last week in Romans chapter 1 through 3. Paul lays out the biggest indictment against humanity. And I'll just read some of them again. Listen to who we are compared to who God is. Paul writes it out and says we're unthankful and we don't give glory to God. He says we think we're wiser than God sometimes. He says we have lustful hearts. He says we're unrighteous. He says we're fornicators. He says we're wicked. We're full of angry. We're gossipers. We're prideful. We're boastful. We're disobedient. And sometimes we have pleasure in those things that we do. Amen. If sin wasn't fun, nobody would do it. And every single one of us stands guilty before God. That's who we are. Yet God said, "I love you anyway." That's called true love. With God, you will never have Him walk up to you and say, I love you, but... He'll never walk up to you and say, I love you if you do this. God says, I love you anyway. God says, I love you anyway. And churches nowadays, I don't know what's happened. But we've got some perspective that God is just a big ogre in heaven that every time that we sin, He wants to smack us across the head and punish us. Now we need to fear God. Amen. But God loves us. He's not just sitting up there waiting, oh yeah, you just go ahead and sin and I'll strike you down with lightning. That's not our God at all. God loved us while we were yet sinners. And He died for us. God loves you despite what you've done in your past. God loves you despite what you've done in your past. In John chapter 8, the Pharisees brought a woman that was caught in adultery to Jesus. And the Bible says she was caught in the very act. So just 5 minutes before, she was caught in adultery with another man. And they brought her to Jesus and they throw her at His feet. And they said, Jesus, now you know the law of Moses says that this woman deserves to be stoned and she deserves to die. And the Bible says Jesus just stooped down and began to write on the ground like He didn't hear Him. And they said, are you not listening? And Jesus looks at him and says, hold on. He who's without sin cast the first stone. And the Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, they laid down their stones and they walked away because they're all convicted. And Jesus bends down to the woman and He says, I want you to look up and look around. Where's your accusers now? And she says, no man accused me, Lord. And He says, neither do I. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling condemned, hallelujah. After what you've done in your past, that's all it is a feeling. It's not a truth. Because there is no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus. And the devil will condemn you all your life for stuff you did 10 years ago, which you've already been forgiven for. God loves you despite what you've done in your past. God loves you despite what you've done to Him right that very second. In Luke chapter 22, the Bible says just a few hours before, Jesus looked at Peter and said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows tonight. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, Peter's just sitting there denying Christ and he don't even realize it. And the third time he denied and the rooster crowed, and the Bible says the door opens up and Jesus looks right at Peter and they meet eyes. Can you imagine that look? Peter just told Jesus hours before, I'm never going to deny you, Lord. And he did it for the third time and the rooster crowed and he realized, oh my goodness. And Jesus looks at him straight in the eyes. Can you imagine what kind of look it was? To be honest, I believe it was a look of, I tried to tell you, but guess what? I still love you. Because He told Peter, when you're converted, when you're turned back after this, strengthen your brethren. And I believe Jesus looked at Peter and was saying, I still love you. And Peter went away and he wept so much. God loves you despite what you've done in your past. God loves you despite what you did to Him 2 seconds ago. And God loves you despite what you're going to do to Him tomorrow. And in John chapter 13, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible says they came to the Last Supper table. And the person at the foot of the table, at the end of the table, was supposed to wash all the people's feet before they came in. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ Himself got His towel and took it off of His robe. And He got down on His hands and His knees. And He began to wash the feet of those disciples. The King of Kings started washing their feet. Knowing that every single one of them was about to leave Him. You know who was in that room? Judas. Jesus knew in just a few minutes that Judas was about to go and betray Him and to have Him killed. And yet Jesus still walks over to this man and He washes his feet. Can you imagine the conviction in Judas's eyes when Jesus looks up at him washing his feet, knowing that Judas was about to go do what he was about to do. Yet Jesus still walked over to him and washed his feet. Because he loves you based on himself, and he loves you unconditionally, not based on what you're going to do to him in the future. But God's love, don't get this wrong, because people will say nowadays that because God loves me, he'll never send me to hell. See, God still loved Judas. Jesus still loved Judas. But the Bible says that when Judas died, he went to his own place. And that old place is, by the way, it's called hell. God's love for you does not mean he won't allow you to go to hell. Especially living in the state of North Carolina. You've literally got to walk on the blood of Jesus Christ to go to hell. All you've got to do is turn on the TV and you can hear the gospel. It might be a watered down one, but you can still hear it. There's churches on every single street in North Carolina. If you want to go to hell, you've got to choose to go to hell. And you've got to literally stomp on the blood of Jesus Christ to get there. God's love for you will still allow you to go to hell if you choose to. But God loves you so much that He's provided every means possible for you to spend eternal life with Him. God loves us this morning based on who He is, not who we are. God loves us this morning based on what He did, not what we do. See, the fact is, the day you sinned your worst sin and the day you got saved, God loved you the exact same way. And that's what I mean, that it passes our understanding. God loves you the exact same way as He does today. And He'll do all through eternity. And I can only imagine, while Jesus had that 300-pound cross walking up Golgotha's hill, that the devil was all in Jesus' ear saying, "Are you kidding me? You're going to die for a bunch of these people? Those 12 disciples that followed you, I want you to look around. There's not one of them standing here with you. And you're still going to die for them." And the devil's trying everything that he can to get Jesus to stop going to the cross. And I can only imagine Jesus saying, "I know they don't deserve it. I know they don't love me back, but I love them anyway. And I'm going to go and die for them." Because He loves us based on what He did, not what we do. God's love is based on who He is. God's love is unconditional. And God's love is not in word only, but God's love is, number three, it's in action. The Bible says God commendeth, or God demonstrates His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. True love in the Bible is never one time about a good feeling in your heart. But love in the Bible is rather based on a sacrificial action for the betterment of another person. You say, "I love something this morning." How do you know that you love it? Just because you say it? If you say that you love somebody, you ought to be able to prove it to them by the things that you do. And that's what God did for us. God's love was not in word only, but in deed. The Bible says, "Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." How terrible would it be if somebody told you every single day that they loved you, but never one time throughout their life did they show you that they loved you? Because words don't mean that much. Love can only be known by the action that it prompts. What action showed God's love to us? How can I stand in the mirror every single night and look at myself and say, "How do I know that God loves me? How do I know that a God that knows everything about me loves me?" All I've got to do is look at the cross. The greatest sacrificial love of all. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Hereby we perceive the love of God, in that He laid down His life for us, who His own self bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to righteousness, should live. Jesus loved you so much that He went all the way up Golgotha's hill and He died for you. He was willing to give, God was willing to give His Son for you because He loved you. John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world. The Bible does not say God loved the world. When I tell Monica I love her, I don't say I love you. I say I love you so much. And that's what God said. God did not say I love you. God said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love prompted Him to give His Son. The Bible says, walk in love even as Christ loved you and gave Himself for you. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Nearly every time you find the word love mentioned in the Bible, you'll find give right after it. Because love is based on giving. And if I were to ask you this morning, do you love God? All of us would raise our hand and say, amen. But how much do we give for Him? If we say we love our family, how much do we give for them? They might not be in church. They might be unbelievers. But we're to love them. And we're to give to them. How much do we love this church? Love can only be known by the action that it prompts. Sacrificial love always looks out for the good of others and lays down itself in the place of it. God loves you this morning based on who He is, based on what He did, and based on action. But I like this. God's love for us is inseparable, and I'm done. And y'all can come on forward and play. I told y'all I wouldn't be home today. God's love for us is based on who He is. It's unconditional. And it's strong in action. But God's love is also inseparable. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35, Paul puts out a question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In verse 35, he names a bunch of natural things. He said, if you're going through the worst storm in your life, that's not going to separate you from God's love. If you're going through some of the worst persecution in your life, it's not going to separate you from God's love. And then in verse 38, he draws out a bunch of spiritual things. He says, death is still not going to separate you from it. Neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present. There's nothing that can come in your life that's going to separate you from God's love. There's no angel, there's no demon, not even Satan himself can get in between God's love for you. Because he'd have to come in between Jesus Christ and you. When you're sealed into the day of redemption, there's nothing coming in between that. God loves you this morning, and there's nothing able to separate you from the love of God. Not you, not your sin, and not even the devil himself. God loves you this morning, and if you've never been born again, God loves you. And He wants you to come and accept Him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Because Jesus loved Judas, yet Judas still went to hell. Can you imagine? Judas kissed the face of Jesus Christ, and he died and went to hell. That's how close he was to the King of Glory. And he still died and went to hell. And I can't imagine Judas being there right now thinking he had every opportunity to die and go to heaven. And in this church right now, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you've got every opportunity right now to do it. Because there comes a day when the opportunity is gone. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you have lost loved ones, don't wait another day. Go tell them. And if you're lost this morning, all you got to do is take one step to the right or one step to the left, and I guarantee you God will take the rest of the steps for you up here. And I'll take that old Bible and show you how you can know that if you were to die on your way home, you'd be with Jesus, because He's already done everything possible. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your great love for us. God, we thank You that You are willing to give Yourself to die for our sins. And God, that's a love that don't even make sense to us this morning, but God, we're so thankful for the love that You gave for us. And I pray, God, for every single person in this congregation, Lord, that they might walk out of this place today realizing that we've got a God that loves us beyond what we could ever even imagine. And that'll give us the energy and the courage to serve You out of love, because we love You back. And Lord, I just pray for the people in here, Lord, that they might come and accept Jesus as their personal Savior if they haven't at a time in their life. And we know the church doors are open. If anybody wants to come and join the church, we'll be down here to talk to you as well. Father, we just pray that You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. And God, will give You the glory as we go out this week. And we pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. If you all stand this morning.